Welcome to another episode of our NCLEX review series. In this podcast, we continue to bring you valuable materials to help you prepare for your exam. Enjoy.
Let's move to the herniated disc. Your patient, and this is what it looks like. This is the spinal cord, right? Here's your disc, and now they're giving you an example up here where how the disc protrudes, and the disc is pressing on that nerve. So you think the patient's going to have pain when that disc protrudes onto the nerve? Sure. So herniated disc, they have pain. They could have motor disturbances, so you always want to do a motor assessment, and you also want to assess their limitations. Usually when a patient has a herniated disc, we just start with pain medication. What can we give that person? NSAIDs, muscle relaxants if they're having spasms, put them on bed rest, tell them use a firm mattress. They can use a cervical collar. If it's really bad, traction. What if nothing works? Surgery. They do surgery, we do a laminectomy. That laminectomy is an excision of the vertebral posterior arch. We go in, you look right on this picture, we're gonna go in through the back, and we're gonna repair the intervertebral disc. Note the dressing. Make sure you look for any cerebral spinal fluid leaking. How would you know that there was CSF on a gauze? Okay, somebody said check for glucose. High five. What else? Because we know if we check for glucose, it's going to be high because glucose is in the CSF. So very good for remembering that. What else can we do? What would the drainage look like? Clear, surrounded by a bloody ring, right? Clear, surrounded by a ring of blood. So CSF leak or blood, we check for that. Always check bowel and bladder function. Make sure there was no nerve damage. You log roll the patient every 2 hours. Give them analgesics. No lifting. They can get out of bed 1 to 2 days, depending on what type of procedure they have, if it's fusion. Always check for the spinal fluid leak again. And they may need a brace, the brace application. Let's move to spinal cord injuries. Has anyone taken care of someone with a spinal cord injury? Very, very intense, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this isn't like an ICU setting. So the patient has complete or partial disruption of the nerve tract and the neuron. It can render them completely paralyzed. They can be quadriplegic. Some books call it tetraplegia, right? All four limbs. Or they can have paraplegia, just one side. They have sensory loss. Altered reflex activity, and that's important. We can't just brush past that. Altered reflex activity. That means that reflexively, things are not going to go well. So autonomic nervous system dysfunction, autonomic dysreflexia. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Below the injury, there's autonomic nervous system dysfunction. So normally what happens if you have, let's say this patient has to have a bowel movement. The stimulus goes, but is there a connection between the lower and the upper motor neurons? No. So when the sympathetic nervous system gets stimulated, up top, we're going to have the blood pressure going up really, really high, right? The patient's blood pressure is going to be very high. The patient's going to be sweating. They're going to be diaphoretic. All the sympathetic nervous system signs is up top. But below the lesion, the area is dry. Right? There's nothing going on down there. This patient is having autonomic dysreflexia. You will not get that blood pressure down unless you remove whatever the offending agent is. And if it has to be, you know, if it's a bowel movement, that's what you've got to take care of. So always assess their respiratory status. For C4 and above injuries, we're afraid that that phrenic nerve that's supposed to stimulate the diaphragm, if that's impaired, how are you breathing? Right? That C4 is very important, that level. So that phrenic nerve gets impaired, that person probably has to be on a vent. Christopher Reeves, when he fell off the horse, I forgot, which area did he fracture? Does anybody remember? Was it C2? So he was a quadriplegic, and he was on a ventilator, right? He had one of those portable ventilators. And even with all of his money, he died of complications from what? A bed sore. All the special mattresses and different devices he probably had. People saying, you know, try to promote us, say this is the best mattress, and he still died of bed sores. Well, complications related to that. So always look and be on the lookout also for spinal shock. Spinal shock is what happens initially. There's going to be a drop in the blood pressure, right? So again, we talked about it before, different types of distributive shock. When blood pools in the lower extremity because the blood vessels dilate, this patient goes into spinal shock, heart rate is going to go up. What are you going to do? Treat it just like you treat any other type of shock, right? You've got to maintain perfusion. Let's go back and talk a little bit about autonomic dysreflexia, because that's really important that you get, because I hear sometimes there are questions about autonomic dysreflexia. Remember, the patient is going to have absence of sweating below the lesion and flushing above. The sympathetic nervous system is working above, but it's not working below because the lesion, there's a break in communication, so the impulse can't travel through. The patient has acute hypertension. There's some type of stimulus that has to be removed. Maybe they have a neurogenic bowel or bladder. We give them medications. We elevate the head of the bed. Log roll the patient, right? Maintain their airway. Immobilize their spine. And always maintain skeletal traction. If this patient was in an MBA and they happen to have traction, that would apply. So, question. You have a patient who suffered an injury to his cervical spine, and now he is a quadriplegic. What comment from the patient should concern you the most? One, I have a stuffy nose. Two, I have no sensation in my hands. Three, I have experienced leg spasms. Or four, I haven't had a bowel movement in 3 days. One, two, three, or four? Four, everybody's saying four? Very good, because you're afraid that, and not because I just told you that that was one of the stimuli, right? You knew that that was a stimulus already, right, for autonomic dysreflexia.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others and leave a rating. We wish you all the best in the coming examination. See you next time.